in. You are listening to the Dom and Colin podcast. My name is Colin, and I'm here with Dom. Dom, how are you this week, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm also all right. I'm just going to put it out there right now. Probably one of the least exciting episodes of The Genius in quite some time, although I am certainly really thrilled to just always be back here talking about The Genius, because I know our time is so fleeting that we're able to do that.
Yeah, and in absolute terms, that means the episode is still like a B+ or maybe a B, right? Like, it's still very good TV, so still perfectly happy to come back and talk about it.
Yeah, it actually, it's kind of like what we've been saying about Hyunmin all its season, where he hasn't been playing perfectly in all the main matches, and we give him a hard time for that, and this episode certainly wasn't on par with most other Genius episodes, and that's probably why I was let down. I guess we'll get into all of that. But at least certainly is relative to all of the, you know, like Hyunmin relative to the rest of the players, or like any Genius episode relative to any other reality TV episode, still solidly above average.
Yeah, and there was still some really good stuff in here. Like Dongmin just carried the entire episode, basically. We had Kyungran making that last minute plea to save herself, and then that kind of conflict with Jungmoon, and a pretty decent death match as well. Although, as we're going to say, we don't like one of the rules that is set in place there. But yeah, like some of the Big Brother seasons we've done, there have been so many weeks where it's just like, okay, let's just do it, get it out of the way, and then hopefully it's going to be better next time. Whereas with this, you know, we've had three completely outstanding episode so far this season, and then episode two I still thought was very good. I know you had some quibbles with it, but it was still fine. And so, you know, in aggregate, this season is still completely fantastic, and I imagine it's going to be back on good form next week.
Oh, no doubt. Although I will add, maybe a bit of a less fun episode when Yu-Yun is half of your team in both of your auction money leagues for The Genius, but more on that later, I suppose. And one other thing, just while we're on the in the line of complaining, I really appreciate Daily Motion. Thank you very much, Daily Motion, for everything you've done as far as hosting these videos for B-God and disregarding Korean piracy laws. However, this new software update that they put in with this new player, at least for me, and maybe it's not the same on like a Mac or whatever, but it seems like it's about 1,000% worse than the old player was, because at least for on my computer, if I accidentally would mouse over the player one too many times, the little like options bar would stay up and then I couldn't see the subtitles. And that was a complete nightmare, having to refresh this page over and over and over just to watch it.
Yeah, it just doesn't go away anymore. Like, I'm sure there's some method that you can get. It's like the thing I was talking about a few weeks ago with the fish, where people like speculate on reasons why it's happening. There's just no pattern whatsoever. Like, I've tried, like, okay, do I have to exit the tab and then re-enter? Do I have to stop and then start the video again? Like, there are so many things I've tried, and none of it seems to work with any consistency. So yeah, like the first time that something was amiss was when there was this tagline at the top saying, oh, we're moving to a new player to improve your user experience, and no user experience has ever been improved after an announcement like that. So I was expecting the worst, and that did actually happen. So not good.
Yeah, I was not expecting something this bad. And again, we really do appreciate that all that Daily Motion does. But I don't know. Let's get the petition starts here to go back to the old player, I guess. But okay, bitching aside, let's get into this new episode. We are, of course, back today to break down episode 5 of The Genius. And as usual, if you are not caught up, now would be the time to tune out, because we are going to spoil everything that goes down here. And Dom, I guess let's just get into it the place we always do, which is the players entering. And once again, we have Dongmin, Jinho, and Kyungran enter as a trio first. And Jinho this week is terrified, and I would say rightly so, considering we have played 4 rounds of The Genius so far, and so far, 4 people have left, all of whom were on Season 2, and Jinho is now the last one left.
Yeah, although possibly some designs on production's part here, having the 3 of them enter first again. Like, usually they mix it up a bit to some degree, but to have the 3 of them after, in the previous episode, they say they're going to form this alliance, we're never really sure how solid that is, because as we see on the show, things change seemingly every week. But that does seem to be a thing that's pretty much in place now. And you have to think, had Kyungran not drawn one of the rebel cards, then that still would have been almost entirely intact.
Oh, yeah, I definitely. More on that later, because I think it is really interesting the way that this threesome comes into play. And you are right. It stood out to me that what's with this, you know, having these three who clearly want to work together, getting this opportunity week after week to, like, set something in stone before other people show up. My thought was, at least for this week, they kind of brought them in the groups that they played in the previous week, where after this, you know, we have last week's heroes, Dr. Yoon-sung and Jun-sok come in together, and down the line we get K-Hound and Yoo-yun in there together, and of course they're going to put Hyun-moon together because the producers just can't let that idea die. They've got to have that showmance going. So I guess kind of almost by process of elimination, it makes sense to put these three together, and they are like the three big kind of stars of the show, like we saw in episode one. They are three of the Avengers, so to speak. It does make sense, but at the same time, you are right, that there is a little bit of kind of like sketchiness to it, in the sense of like the week after Dongmin announces he wants to propose a final two deal to Hyunmin in season three, they're the first two in the next week.
Yeah, and so I wonder if the others are maybe reading anything into that. Like, okay, the first time it happens, whatever, like somebody has to be the first in. But then when the same three people go in there again, you have to start wondering in the back of your mind if there's something bigger going on here.
Well, kind of like what I was just getting at and explained it poorly, I think there is, at least if I was one of the other players, like if I'm Jun-sok or even Yoo-yun or whatever, I kind of get it that at least Dongmin and Jin-ho, at this point now that Sangmin are gone, are clearly the stars of the franchise that are left in the game, and Hyunmin to a certain extent. And then Kyungran, I think, is clearly, you know, not only working with them, but is the biggest female star of the franchise and is one of the more memorable people from her season. So I would kind of understand why they would want to lead off with this really recognizable crew early on. At the same time, I would have some concerns about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those things in Big Brother where when the seating order, when they're going up to vote, is a certain way, then maybe you can read things into it. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing here, where it does imply something, but you don't quite know what until after it's too late almost sometimes.
The Big Brother thing is a great example where, you know, sometimes, oftentimes, honestly, these days, the House will be a unanimous vote and the voting order won't really matter. But when it is a close vote on Big Brother, because they're voting live on TV, the producers naturally want the vote to not be determined until as late as possible. So they put the swing votes at the end. So in a close vote, you can kind of gauge who voted for whom based on where they voted. Like, the swing votes will always be at the end.
Yeah, although maybe this is just a result of having this like omniscient view, or at least close to omniscient as you can be, given how much the editors on the show like to fuck with you. But, you know, when we know that Dongmin has suggested this deal 2 weeks prior, then maybe we start to read something into that. But, like, I couldn't tell you who were the first two or three people in episode three, for instance, because that just never came up. You know, that coincidence wasn't there.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess, you know, partially, hey, we've seen on The Genius historically, they're willing to reward the people who put themselves out there and announce ahead of time, hey, this is the big move I want to make this week. Or like in season two, Sangmin got to go in, or Jin-ho got to go in first because he had all the clues to the token of immortality. And then once Sangmin got the combination, he got to go in first. They will reward people who are, you know, if we put them in first, maybe something will happen.
And you also have to think, with the way the filming schedule lines up, where the episodes start to roll into place before the whole season has finished filming, when they get to episode 4 airing and you see Dongmin suggest that, and now let's say they're in week 10 and Dongmin and Kyungran are still there, then you go back home and watch that and you're like, fuck, okay, these two need to be broken up right now. Like, the next time, you know, when I go in there on Sunday, I need to do something about that.
Yeah, it's I'd be curious, particularly with season three, because I think that is the big glowing instance when we walk in. I think it was after the mining game, so it would be the beginning of episode 6, Stormy Stock Market, and Dongmin and Hyunmin, you know, shake on a final two deal. I'm guessing that got aired on TV before they were finished filming, because there were still several rounds left to be played there, which kind of makes me wonder about, like, we saw even in that end game, Dr. Yoon-sung didn't really even seem to care, even super late into that game, about letting them stay together as a pair.
Yeah, although I think in season three, that was pretty much apparent by the time they would have seen that on TV. Like, if you can't tell at that stage that Dongmin and Hyunmin are a pair, then what are you even doing there? But I think on this season, like, it could very conceivably happen that, you know, Dongmin and Jin-ho just kind of end up coasting through the game together without really being explicitly tied. And then we get down to final five or final four, the two of them are both still there. And if they have an alliance that other people don't know about, then that could end up being very important.
Right. And if you just think about who else is potentially going to be there with them, you know, it looks like Hyunmin and Kyungran are people that Dongmin and Jin-ho seem willing to work with. or, you know, enthusiastic probably to work with. But I doubt that even if they didn't have something in place, that they would prefer working with Jeonsok or Kyung-hoon or Dr. Yoon-sung above each other. Like, I don't even think it has to be official for them to find themselves working together in the end.
And now that Yoo-hyun is gone, is this the start of, like, a season 3 massacre as well? So we're going to get down to the final weeks. It's only going to be the season 1 people left standing.
God, I hope not. And I don't think so, if that's a serious question.
Semi-serious, I suppose.
Well, if this is a season 3 massacre, then I think this season is not going to go as I'm anticipating it. Because I think Dongmin and Hyunmin have just, you know, we've been talking about it for weeks, but I think even more so now, an overwhelming amount of the win equity at this point.
Well, please stop jinxing it, by the way. I feel like every time you say that, their equity decreases in substantial increments.
That's probably true. It's like Hyunmin when he was walking around last week talking about how he had the game won.
Yeah, but regardless, let's get into the episode now. And one of the big things that we learn immediately is that Kyung-ran finally got around to watching season 3, and by which I mean she finally got around to watching any season of The Genius at all.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if Kyung-ran didn't even watch her own season air. It doesn't seem like she's that even much of like a Genius fan. Like, I can't even comprehend how someone could be about to go play The Genius All-Stars and have no idea about the people from season 3. There aren't that many episodes to be watching.
Right, she doesn't strike me as like a gamer in that sense, right? Where it's, I think she enjoys playing it, obviously, and she has a good time there, but it's she's not going to be like scribbling down on a legal pad trying to figure out all of the nuances of the game. So if you don't like watching yourself on TV, and maybe she doesn't, although being a TV personality would make that a bit weird, and then maybe you just don't take an interest in the other two seasons for whatever reason, then yeah, I can see that happening.
Potentially, but I feel like once you know, especially after the first week where you show up and you find out the way the death matches are going to work, and they're just bringing back old games, a few of which you've never even seen before and don't know the rules to, at that point, don't you go back and at least watch the death matches when you could potentially be playing them in 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, like when if this experience means anything to you, then surely you can find an hour in your week to just take some brief notes on what you might be up against.
Yeah, I think it is something, you know, we haven't really talked about it yet because we haven't done season 3 yet, where it's the first time that it really comes into play, where we have these just outright non-celebrities, like people like Hyunmin. Like Hyunmin, once this season's over, he's going to go back to being a college junior, whereas Kyung-ran's going to go on continuing to be a celebrity, where Hyunmin, I'm sure, was sitting at home figuring these games out.
See, I think Hyunmin has acquired a kind of pseudo-celebrity already, where he does have, like, these teenage fangirls or whatever, and he does have a lot of Twitter followers and so on. So maybe he's going to be invited to more shows after this, or he can parlay that into something. I don't know, but so maybe that's just a bad example. But, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, Kyung-ran, as a broadcaster, as someone who should be familiar with this environment, like, you would expect her to be more clued up on that, I suppose.
Well, what I mean is, this is just another TV show for Kyung-ran, whereas for Hyunmin, this is all he really cares about right now.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean.
Okay, so another thing I liked as they were all entering is we got this kind of behind-the-scenes look at what Jeonsok and Dr. Yoon-sung were thinking last week, and I thought it was hilarious that their initial plan was to try to, like, play it cool when the results came in, but they just got too excited and went in for the high five. Although I do think people would have retroactively done the math when Dr. Yoon-sung gives Jeonsok the token of life, and then they think back over the game about, oh, wait, they were never on the same fish together and they were always bidding $1, especially, you know, when four other people had the exact same plan.
Yeah, one of the many points that we kind of glossed over last week was, when you start to see everybody's choices line up perfectly so that one person has these six covered and another person has these six covered, then you have to start thinking, like, surely there's something going on here, because mathematically, the chances of that just happening by coincidence can't be that high.
Oh, I mean, mathematically, the chances of that, if they're acting independently, that's virtually impossible for it to go perfect like that.
Yeah, and you can imagine if everybody figures out that solution to the game, you have, like, five distinct pairs all employing the same strategy and all, like, lining each other's choices up perfectly, so you get this kind of perfect coordination, which would be kind of fun.
And let me just clarify, it's not anywhere near mathematically impossible in the sense that some things are near mathematically impossible. It is extraordinarily unlikely, far beyond the point of coincidence, for people to wind up with their tickets all on separated across all 12 fish on all four rounds.
Yeah, although I think, you know, they have they make this big production at the start of being scared of Dr. Yunzen. But as the episode plays out, we don't really see him become more vocal or more involved in what goes on. He does get elected king at one point, which maybe is a sign of increased deference, I suppose. But, you know, he is perfectly happy to just let Dongmin take the reins again, even after he clowned Dongmin last week in the fish stand game.
Yeah, I did think it was really funny that they compared him to, like, a hotel keeper where, like, just greeting all of the guests that he's trying to, like, extort, basically, for that week. Like, noticing the change in his personality now that things have changed around him. Something, it's one of those themes that I think we may return to later in this week, Dom.
Yeah, I also like that there's no noticeable change in Junsok either, because for Dr. Yunsen, he spent, like, a season and a half desperately wanting this kind of victory in one episode. And Junsok, you know, he pretty much wasn't in season one at all. And so coming into this season, you know, he is just like this agent of chaos in the first episode and is constantly messing things up for people. And he just, it doesn't mean anything to him. He just does whatever he wants and enjoys it.
I love Junsok and his, like, it, what appears at least to me to be his whole philosophy surrounding this game, which seems to be just kill them all. I don't care what happens to whom. I am here. I'm going to burn this entire place to the ground and hopefully I win.
Yeah, I enjoy his insistence on price stability as well. It's a very sound philosophy for life. But yeah, so we have the entire cast entering now, and that does include Heung-min and Jung-moon again. So that's clearly something which the producers are very strongly trying to push. It does seem, though, like we have seen Jung-moon going to Heung-min for information sometimes, or them agreeing to share information, but Heung-min doesn't seem to have any kind of affection towards her in terms of how the games play out.
I think Hyunmin is just so focused as soon as the game starts that he's probably looking to specifically Dongmin for help in kind of wrangling the people and getting everyone on the same page. But I think generally speaking, Hyunmin is trying to do his own thing more so than listen to what other people are telling him.
Yeah, because in episode 3, he didn't seem overly concerned about the prospect of Jungmoon being last. And to an extent, I think that's because there's a tension between her avoiding that and him coming first, which is obviously his primary goal there. But he didn't seem too concerned about that. And then in this episode, he is one of the voices pushing most strongly for Jungmoon to be the one to be sent to jail in the final round over Kyungran. So, yeah, I think that's a mostly one-sided relationship, if it is anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel like Hyunmin, when he's in the middle of playing one of these games, like you just hit on, where come at the end of this game, he is basically pleading with Dongmin to make the 100% safe play because, kind of like we were talking about, Hyunmin really has nothing to lose, whereas Dongmin has not only an image to maintain as a celebrity, but also an image within the game. But I think it is, with Hyunmin, it's beyond at least Dongmin. I don't think it's specific to Jungmoon. I think it could probably almost even be like Jinho or Kyungran. I'm certainly thinking it's the case for Junsok, where he's keeping tabs on them insofar as long as they're not doing anything to mess up his plans, he doesn't really care. Okay, Jungmoon's over there calculating pie. Cool, that doesn't really affect me.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And we also learned that Yoo-hyun was thinking about picking Heung-min at some point if he had to go to a deathmatch. But after his performance against your girl, Lawyer Yunsen, he was scared off of that prospect entirely.
Yeah, and I know I said last time we were talking to Mike Bloom, Heung-min will never be picked to be anyone's opponent. Like, no one will voluntarily go to a deathmatch with Heung-min. Feeling really good about that call now.
Yeah, that's true. But as we see in this episode, you can be not likely to be picked for a deathmatch and just end up there anyway because of how the game is constructed. And that's especially true in these garnet matches where it doesn't matter how good you are socially or anything else. If you end up with the fewest garnets at the end of a garnet match, you are going to the deathmatch. So even if you wouldn't be picked organically, you can still end up there somehow.
No, I agree with that. I'm not saying Hyunmin is completely bulletproof and I'll see him go to the finals. I feel like it's going to take him coming last for him to wind up in a deathmatch, whereas with anyone else in the field, it's going to take them coming last or getting picked to wind up in the deathmatch, and the or getting picked is not in play with Hyunmin.
That's fair, although I think, as we said a few weeks ago, there are lots of people who it doesn't seem like anyone is eager to pick. Like, are you going to pick Jinho? Are you going to pick Dongmin? Like, there are so many people who I think there's a certain, like, reputation that they've had, whether or not that's deserved or not. that would lead to people shying away from that. And I think as long as there are other easy targets there, although I don't even know who that would be at this point, then they will never be the top priority for being picked.
If I'm pretty much anyone and I'm faced with Hyunmin, or hey, am I going to pick Dongmin instead of Hyunmin? Am I going to pick Jinho instead of Hyunmin? Hell yes, I'm going to pick either one of those two ahead before I'm going to pick Hyunmin.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you are, but like for the people in the game right now, who is the tempting person to take to a deathmatch with you? Because let's say we're excluding Dongmin, Hyunmin, and Jinho just right out of the gate. Then Kyungran, we said in the past that we think she should be picked if anyone is paying attention, but I guarantee you, after her victory in this week's deathmatch, they are going to spin that and people are going to believe it that, oh, she was able to take down the poker pro in a game of poker, so there's some, you know, mysterious skill that she has there, even though, as we'll get onto, that's not necessarily the case. And so, and she does seem to be seen as like this scary opponent who you really don't want to go and match your wits against for whatever reason. So I think she's going to be safe for a while there. Then Junsok, again, was taken out in episode one of season one because he was too threatening. And then the one death match that he gets to play this season, he wins it very easily. Kyung-hoon is just so unpredictable. And we've already seen him win a death match against Sangmin. So you don't know what you're getting yourself into there. Dr. Yunsen, I think, is increasingly building his reputation too. And Jungmoon, like we saw Sangmin say that Jungmoon was guaranteed to win any death match that she goes to. So who is the mark here? Like, who is the one person who everyone is looking at as a fallback option?
It doesn't even need to be any one specific person. First of all, are you kidding me if you think that anyone's even going to think twice about Jungmoon or Kyung-hoon or Dr.
Yes.
Yunsen? Believe that.
I do believe that. And you can sit here and say, oh, well, of course I would take Jinho into the deathmatch or whatever, but can you realistically say that these people would do that unless they are looking to, you know, go down in a blaze of glory or challenge the best or, you know, whatever justification they give themselves?
Okay, this is what I will amend my statement to, and it kind of ties into something I was saying a little while ago. I actually think, the more I think about it, it is very possible that specifically Junsok decides if he finds himself in last place, I'm going to take a big swing. Because if I'm going to be at risk, I want to at least make it count for when I stick around. I could see Junsok in particular potentially picking Hyunmin as part of his burn everything to the ground kind of game plan. Short of that, Hyunmin does not have to outrun the Lion. There is no way Hyunmin will ever be viewed as the best deathmatch candidate.
I agree with that, and I also think Kyung-hoon, if he ends up in a deathmatch having to pick someone, could just go completely off the reservation and, like, if he wants to become the Kingslayer, he could pick Jinho or Dongmin and just take them down, which I would love that. If, you know, Kyung-hoon goes to the deathmatch next episode, he takes Jinho, he beats him, and then he shows up the following week and is like, all right, Dongmin, watch your back, I'm coming for you. I could easily see him doing that. But think about it on the other end now, so moving beyond Hyunmin, like, who is at the bottom of the food chain in deathmatch terms?
Kyung-hoon.
Is he getting picked, though? Because I think he's looking more and more impressive in main matches, and also you just have no idea what he's doing. Like, you can try to outthink a rational opponent. You can't try to outthink Kyung-hoon. You just have no idea what's going on.
I can't believe that this is the reality that we live in, that we're sitting here, we're over 5 weeks into a season of The Genius, and you, Dom Harvey, are arguing to me that Kyung-hoon is not clearly the number one person, the number one priority in a death match, you know, if someone's choosing their opponent. I agree with you that he is demonstrating way more talent, and I use talent very loosely and generously for these games and for the death matches than I ever anticipated. At the same time, he's Kyung-hoon. He is going to get picked. People don't take him seriously at all. While he has exceeded expectations, I don't think any of it was like in an overly like impressive way that's going to actually scare anyone. Like, I feel like if it's not Kyung-hoon, it's going to be someone like maybe Jungmoon, even though the memory and observation stuff is still what's left in there for the most part, or, you know, like monorail and stuff that she could theoretically be good at just by having a really high IQ. I, for one, am not believing that Kyung-ran is going to be viewed as any kind of like deathmatch beast. I still would say that Kyung-hoon is probably viewed as the number one person people would want to play against. But back to the larger point, I think there is still a lot of time to go before we're even seeing people like Dongmin or Jinho, and certainly Hyunmin considered. All right, so let's get into the main match. This week we are playing Loyalists and Rebels. There are going to be 6 Loyalists and 3 Rebels, and the players are going to draw randomly to determine which role they get. And every player is going to take turn picking a number to put into this giant grid. There are 2 columns of 15 slots each. There's column A and column B. And if either of those columns ends up with a number that hits 4 digits in it, the Rebels will win, and if they don't end up with 4 digits in it, the Loyalists will win. And so a king is going to be elected after every round, and that person is going to pick 2 of the players to send to jail, 2 of the suspected Rebels, and those people won't get to add any numbers and won't get to vote for the next king. And then if the Rebels win the game, if, you know, we do hit 4 digits, the Loyalists are going to get a rebuttal where the final king that gets elected is going to get a chance to name 2 people to send to jail. And if they're both Rebels, those 2 people are going into the death match.
Yeah, so I think when you see this rule set for the first time, the thing that you look at immediately is there's this way at the end that the Loyalists can overturn the result. So firstly, why would they put that in there? And secondly, is there a way that you can exploit that? So like we saw in the jury game in season 3, where they figured out everyone on the other team, and so they were able to throw the game and trigger that condition for themselves and then guarantee the victory there. So is there any way like that that you can lock in a surefire win?
Right. That was my first thought as well, is thinking back to the jury game from season 3, episode 2, where Hyunmin, as the citizen leader, realized, hey, once I know the criminal leader, we're better off losing, so I can pick Lawyer Kang in this instance, and my team's going to be safe 100% of the time. I was thinking it was something along those lines as well. The difference, I think, the very key difference, is in that game, both sides would have gotten the rebuttal if they had, you know, whichever side lost would have gotten a rebuttal, whereas in this game, there is no rebuttal for the Rebels if they end up losing here. And I think the rebuttal is really, like, almost the key to the game here, which it essentially makes it come down to there are only going to be 3 Rebels, and they have to jack these numbers up to 4 digits, but they can only do that by exposing exactly one of them. They almost have to expose one of them in order to make that happen, but if they expose 2 of them with certainty, that's the end of the game, no matter what.
Yeah, and so you have to think, they put this rule in place because they felt without it, the game would be too wildly imbalanced in favor of the Rebels. So why is that the case? Like, and if you think through it, you can maybe get into their heads and work out why they felt that way.
Well, yeah, it's very easy to see why that's the case. If it doesn't matter for the Rebels, if their identity gets blown up, as long as they hit 4 digits, they can each just jump it from 1 digit to 2 digits, from 2 digits to 3 digits, and from 3 digits to 4 digits, and that's it. There's no real reason to keep your identity secret, whereas with this, it is paramount to keep your identity secret, or else you are completely boned and you're automatically in the death match.
Yeah, so I think the key realization as a Rebel is if you are able to get the number over the threshold without blowing your cover, then there is still a pretty decent chance that you end up in the death match if they're able to pick the right people. And so, you know, even if you have a plan which you think is going to work, it might be better to just sell out immediately, take whatever deal they're offering you, and be the one Rebel that ends up being safe and just avoid that, you know, 25, 30, 40%, whatever it is, chance of just going to the deathmatch anyway.
Right. But that's the big dilemma, right? Is yes, you are. That is certainly the best plan as far as ensuring your own temporary safety for this round. However, in order to do that, you have to completely sell out and seal the fate of 2 people that had your back, essentially, because they didn't sell you out. And send both of them to the death match. I feel like that's going to have a lot of really negative long-term consequences.
Well, okay, but only one of those 2 people is going to still be there next week. That other person, even if they do harbor like feelings of vengeance towards you, I think, obviously it depends on who the Rebels are, and we saw like Hyungran, who is very team-focused and would never betray her group. Obviously she's going to take offense when someone flips on her. And kind of the same way with Yuhyun, where I think, you know, even if he understands on some level that, of course, it makes sense for someone to flip, he is a team player. He does want his team to win, so he's not going to be happy about it, certainly. But if it's like Junsok or Hyunmin or whoever else, they would understand the incentive. They aren't going to take it so personally.
Yeah, I really wish we had gotten the alternate timeline where the 3 people who drew the Rebel were Junsok and Hyunmin and Yuyun, and it was just a race to see who could sell out the other 2 faster.
Yeah, or if you had Dongmin and Hyunmin on opposing teams where one is a rebel and one is a loyalist, like either way, whether Dongmin is a loyalist or Dongmin is a rebel, like that's going to create an interesting dynamic. You know, if Kyung-hoon had been a rebel, then obviously things just go completely up in flames, and that would be fun. We could see Dr. Yoon-sun, you know, after his Shining role last week, maybe be forced to adapt to this again. I think there were lots of ways it could have played out, and this was maybe one of the least interesting.
Yeah, honestly, I think we got a pretty uninteresting rebel draw here. And quite frankly, I would be surprised if Yoo-yeon, when he found out who the other rebels were, wasn't a little disappointed about who he was working with.
Well, I think, okay. Well, like, who would he prefer to be there with? Because if you're there with Dongmin, who is maybe the only other person who will put, like, this full-hearted effort into making the team win, then he's just going to take control of everything, and you can't really influence the game at all. And most of the other people in there are just going to flip and ensure themselves safety. So Kyungran and Jungmoon are maybe the only two people who aren't going to just instantly flip on you right away.
I think the big reason, at least for me, that I would want Dongmin to be one of my co-rebels is maybe this is unfair because I know this about Dongmin and maybe Yoo-yeon doesn't know this about Dongmin, but Dongmin has a ton of experience playing these games, not only on Crime Scene, but he talked about on Crime Scene. He spent like his entire youth playing essentially Mafia. He said he played like thousands of games of Mafia. So Dongmin has an insane amount of experience in these kind of role-playing and blending into the crowd, even though you're a rebel kind of games. I think Dongmin is clearly, if we've seen anything this season, going to dictate the way a given game is played far more often and far more effectively than anyone else ever is going to. And I would be very comfortable if I have Dongmin kind of getting the group all on the same page with my best interest in mind. Yeah. And another person I would be thrilled to have is Hyunmin, just seeing his work in the jury game in season 3. So I feel like there are a lot of people. And Jin-ho, just knowing that he's been on Crime Scene, Jun-sok, I feel like could be good at this. I feel like there are a lot of people that Kyungran and Jungmoon would be near the bottom of my list of potential combinations.
Yeah, and I thought like Kyungran still made a very good effort of it towards the end and gave us some good drama. And Jungmoon, I think mainly thanks to knowing Pi, which of course she would know Pi, like, you know, I think that's what made her interesting as a rebel. Like, I think had that not been the case, then she would have kind of reverted to the same kind of thing we saw in the zombie game, where she gets outed fairly quickly, and then beyond that, it's hard for her to do anything.
Right, that's of course, one of the big things is her performance in the zombie game, where she walked out of the dealer booth and Sangmin pointed at her and said, all right, you're a zombie. It seemed like much of the same was happening here, and I think that may have been what inspired her almost to go along and really go with the group on this giving them real digits of pie idea, because I feel like she may have just been so uncomfortable so quickly and wanted to do everything she could to look like a loyalist.
Yeah, and of course it's worth saying that although every single episode would be better with Sangmin in it, this episode in particular, I think, you know, had Sangmin been a rebel, or, you know, if Dongmin and Sangmin are on opposite teams, you know, there were so many fun things that could happen there, but sadly, you know, he lives on in our memories at least.
It would have been actually Sangmin being in this game. I feel like Sangmin, now that I'm trying to think of ways that Sangmin could have gotten away with being a rebel, I feel like he could almost sell people on he bumps it up big time and still convinces them, no, I'm a loyalist. I just took a bribe to bump it up. I was just being very selfish, but don't put me in jail.
Either that, or Sangmin sells out the other rebels within the first like 5 seconds of the game, and it's, you know, it's all a wrap. But
that's probably
but either
more likely.
Way, it would be fun to see.
Yeah.
So they all get assigned their roles here, and it's worth noting that they put copies of the cards in the dealer booth, so that we don't get this repeat of the zombie game where if you only saw the zombie card, you wouldn't know what was said on the human card, and then so you wouldn't be able to answer it back. So that's a kind of a fix that they put in place there.
Yeah, well, for people, just quickly, I'm sure many people who only watched season one once many months ago may have missed this. In the zombie game, the way Jungmoon was quickly discovered, not only just by Sangmin's soul reading, but I think it was Chanyeop, it was, who, when he was quizzing her on, hey, how can I be sure that you're a person, he asked her if the card that she drew said human or person on it, and she couldn't answer. So in this case, right, they put an example card of both. And I believe someone said that even dating back to like the food chain or any other card games like that where you draw, they always in the dealer room have an example version of each card. So there is no angle to that anymore. Everyone knows what every card looks like.
Yeah. And we get Dongmin being revealed as a human here, which like you expect them to show you one or two people so that you have some basis to work with when you're seeing these conversations. But revealing Dongmin, I think, is, I don't know if it's a good choice or a bad choice, because you know that Dongmin is going to be taking the reins and trying to lead his group. And so if towards the end you can set up this question of, well, maybe Dongmin was a rebel this whole time and just leading them on this wild goose chase, then that's a guaranteed point of tension for the episode. But they chose to remove that possibility right away by just showing him as a loyalist.
Yeah, this is something that I actually personally really, really didn't like. And unlike, however, Survivor or Big Brother, where that's completely par for the course that I think they made like bad decisions or whatever, there's got to be some reason that the genius editors had in mind that showing us that Dongmin was definitely a loyalist would pay off somehow. And I can't think of what it is, but I, at least for me, I feel like not knowing whether or not Dongmin was a loyalist would have been like one of the bigger question marks of the entire episode that may have swung this from, like, in my esteem, probably like a 4 or a 5 by genius standards to like maybe at least a 6 or a 7 is the possibility, as I was watching it, that maybe Dongmin was going to flip this whole game on its head. I really can't think of what reason they would have to just make it so open and put it right out, and, you know, publicly for the viewers at least, right from the get-go, that Dongmin really was acting in the group's best interest. But at least for me, I really didn't like that decision.
Yeah, because that would also improve every other reveal that we see throughout the episode. Because, for instance, when Dongmin exposes Jungmoon, like later on, they could say, well, maybe he was doing that so that he would have cover as a loyalist. Because when the final king gets elected, no one's going to think that he's a rebel anymore. So, of course, they're going to elect him, at which point he can flip the whole game around and so on and so forth.
And just at least from my own point of view, having seen Dongmin play an entire season of Crime Scene, the question has come up of what does Dongmin do if he does draw a rebel? And I really feel like that is the number one thing that we got robbed of, is seeing what Dongmin does if he draws the rebel. However, I think it would have been virtually the same thing, because I am fully confident that in Dongmin, in these kinds of games, whatever card he draws, whether it's on Crime Scene and he draws the killer, his state of mind, he is able to just wipe his slate clean mentally and act exactly like an innocent civilian.
Yeah, so we know that Yoo-hyun is going to be exposed because he pumps the number up to 99. So midway through the game, he is going to be outed as a rebel. And then Jungmoon, you want to have this big reveal in there of Dongmin realizing what Jungmoon is doing and calling her out, which was fantastic and maybe the high point of the episode. But then you can have it be an open question of, well, maybe Kyung-ran is actually telling the truth. And the reason that she's so insistent is because she is a loyalist, and she knows if Dongmin is made the final king, then things could get disastrous. And maybe Dongmin is just so good at what he's doing that nobody even questioned him in that role, and so they just didn't have those conversations to show. But if that's the case, then lock it in right now. I mean, he could just repeat a win here very easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things, like, we've talked about how Dongmin just kind of steers every single main match just apparently just by being Jang Dongmin. That's just who he is. He's going to take the reins, and people are going to be almost happy, it seems like, to listen to him. It feels like whether he was a loyalist or a rebel, the game was going to flow through him.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from him, because clearly he is just fantastic at leading a group in general and getting people to do what he wants, but it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy where if you think that he is a good leader and you want to listen to him, then, you know, that makes it much easier for you to listen to him. And so, you know, therefore, that's another successful episode of Dongmin as a leader. And so that's even further evidence in your mind that he's good at it. And so, you know, once he does it well this one time, then every single time after that, it becomes a lot easier. And so now that he has a season and a half worth of doing that, you know, you question how much effort he really has to put into it.
Right. I mean, I feel like they show up almost, they draw their roles, and I'm guessing several people are probably thinking, all right, well, let's see what the plan is. Let's find out what Dongmin wants to do. And if Dongmin's a rebel, what am I really going to do? Like, I'm going to have to go with how he wants to play this game no matter what, especially, you know, when he takes such an immediate approach and says, all right, no one's, you know, Garrett Adelstein style, saying no one's having any kind of side conversations. We're going to starve out the rebels. He really leaves people no choice.
Yeah, and that move to shut down any conversation, any private conversation immediately, is one of the big plays of the episode, I think, because one of the ways that this can all go awry for you is if you let everybody go off in groups of 2 or 3, and then you have no general sense of what's happening, and then your reads on certain people start to get thrown off, and then maybe one of the rebels is able to get inside the heads of somebody else who's easily influenced, and then, you know, everything kind of spirals out of control from there. But this way, if everything has to flow through Dongmen and everything is in plain view, you know, if the rebels can't communicate, they can't really do anything, right? And we saw Yuhyun get outed by Kyunghoon of all people because, you know, he felt the need to write a note to one of the other rebels.
Right, no, exactly. Yuhyun, because he was, you know, as they said, getting starved out here, he had to make, like, a hard copy of some kind of message to Kyungran, and Kyunghoon caught on to it, and there's nothing, he can't destroy it, he can't pull a Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and just eat the paper right in front of everyone, because that's just as shady as anything else. So it really, like, this really did make a difference, and we'll see, we'll get to this shortly, but Yuhyun only getting to bump it from one digit to two instead of being able to go from two to three is what really saved the loyalists.
Is it though?
Because... I think so. If one rebel gets to bump it from two digits to the high three digits, and the other two rebels are fairly unknown, which granted was not the case at all here. Right. I think he was, but generally speaking, at least the way the game would be working if the rebels were playing well, the rebels being able to bump it to three digits with only one of them being known should be the end of the game, a decent enough percent, more often than not, in their favor.
Yeah, well, that's the issue here, I think, because the rebels as a group playing well is at odds with individual rebels doing what is best for them.
Right.
Because, as we said, you know, even if they do work perfectly together, despite not being able to talk about anything, then you have this issue, first of all, where whoever is the one to bump the number up is guaranteed to be a rebel. Like, everybody knows that. And so when the time comes for the final king to make their choices, it will be that person and then, you know, somebody else chosen for whatever reason. And so if you're one of the other rebels, you stand like half of the overall chance of going to the deathmatch as compared to the rebel who's been outed, because they are guaranteed to be a pick every single time. So you don't want to be the rebel who has to do that, but you want a rebel to do that, because otherwise you can't win.
Right. I mean, they would all recognize, you're completely right, that you don't want to be the rebel who's bumping it, because then you're always going to be one of the picks. But for collectively for the rebels, that is easily the best bet. And I think the other hang up as far as why this may not work is, for the rebels to be playing well, they need to be blending in. And that is never going to happen when Dongmin is the loyalist leader and these other people, he's gotten to play games with these other people for weeks at a time. And he spent the last 3 months playing Crime Scene against much tougher opponents. Yeah. So like we saw in the zombie game, it's theoretically possible for the zombies to win, and it's theoretically possible for the rebels to stay, to, you know, play perfectly and blend in. It is not going to happen when the rebels are these group and Dongmin is one of the loyalists.
Yeah, because even if everything works out perfectly, there is still this fairly high chance that you will go to the deathmatch somehow. And so it makes so much more sense to just cut your losses, jump in with the other team right away, and take what you can get. And that's why I think Junsok might be the undersold MVP of this episode, because he is the one to make the offer publicly that any rebel who sells out the other rebels will be given safety. And so, you know, it's you want to be defecting to the loyalists, but you can't do that unless that offer is on the table. And so, and like, you can't ask that question because then you're outed as a rebel. So
right,
one of the loyalists needs to make that known to everybody, or else it can't really work that way.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason Junsok can do this and be so bold is if he just gets, you know, if any loyalist can just get one of the rebels to turn, that's good enough. All of the loyalists are going to be safe. There's nothing, there's no reason not to just openly be a loyalist when you're a loyalist. And I think more to the point, it's just so hard to be a rebel beyond just Dongmin being so good. But when you have to have one of you bump it from two digits to three, like, that seems like by far the best way you're going to win. And then just hope to get unlucky, or hope to get lucky and avoid having another rebel picked as their, like, rebuttal person. It seems like anything short of that, the loyalists are going to win every single time.
Yeah, like, in theory, if you only have one rebel that gets outed by pushing the number up high and then everyone else is able to maintain their cover, then the odds do favor the rebels. However, given that there is still a chance that one of the rebels, that any given rebel will go to the deathmatch, there's a big incentive for them to sell out, which means they are working against all of the other rebels at the same time. So it's very hard for them to actually make that happen.
Yeah, so I guess let's get into how this actually goes down here. They each draw their numbers, and I think I love it that, of course, Jinho draws number two. He gets to go second. This show is so scripted. I've been saying it for weeks now. Although, actually, this episode is a great indicator that this show, that the genius is not scripted. I remember Antonio Mazzaro, a great podcaster, is now catching up on The Genius. And I was talking to him, and he was wondering what the writer in the opening credits is for. Because I certainly, understandably, this show does very much seem scripted. It's so good from time to time. I remember watching a secret scene where the writer is actually, when the dealers are being asked questions by the players, the writer, and I'm doing air quotes, is the person that dealer Nuna is communicating with. So I guess let's get into this. And, you know, as we've been getting into, Dongmin just drags everyone into a room together and none of them can talk about anything to speak of. And they're, you know, as Junsok puts this offer out there, and I'm wondering what you would do if you are a rebel and you kind of recognize how hard it's probably going to be to win. Is any part of you even thinking about just immediately selling out the other two rebels?
My concern would be, given that there are other rebels in the room, like I know Kyungran is not going to sell out no matter what, based on what I know of her. But if I just immediately sell them out, I don't have a reason to believe that they're actually going to go through with it. Like, they might think, okay, thanks for that information, and now we're just going to go and keep Kyungran safe instead.
Well, that is a good point. And I wonder, I was going to talk about this later, but let's get into this now, because it comes into play down the line when Dongmin has that decision to make when he's the final king. When Dongmin is backing up, you know, just having, if you're a player, you're a rebel, and you've seen Dongmin on season 3 and now, and you know of him just being a famous Korean person, I feel like I would be inclined to actually believe him. I would believe that this group of loyalists, because it's so easy for them to win, they would go with it. They're happy to go with whoever is the first one to sell him out, because it's all the same to them. They're still getting a token of life.
Yeah, and we do see him stick by Jungmoon, even though Kyungran is a much closer ally for him. But at the same time, you could rationalize it, I guess, as, well, my objective here is to stay loyal to my team, and my team is the loyalists, and so anything that helps them win, even if it means screwing over a rebel, is what I have to do.
I guess that's true. Like, it's certainly not a guarantee. It's not like you can only, it's not like you can conditionally out yourself on the grounds that they put in writing that they flip or whatever. Yeah, and I thought it would, you know, the players are going to get their numbers assigned that they have to choose from. They don't know what they're going to be, but they do know that the numbers are, you know, written down. They're not just going to be randomly drawn. So it is some kind of thing that already exists in the world. And Junsok just casually speculates, hey, maybe it's pi. Maybe it's 3.1415, and that's the end. In America, we only cut it off after 4 decimal places of learning pi. Yeah. And it turns out, hey, Dom, who knew? It is pi. And Jungmoon knows apparently up to 100 places of pi and cannot wait to help the loyalists.
Yeah, and I saw some people say that, you know, I think Jungmoon was so enthusiastic to show that, you know, to show off what she knew that she didn't consider whether it was actually smart or not. But if you spent that much effort learning 100 digits of pi when you're not going to use it in any other circumstance, why not, you know, be excited for it?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the most useless thing you could ever do. Like, in what possible scenario could knowing 100 digits of pi ever remotely come into play? And here we are.
Yeah, I guess it's like a fun party trick at really weird parties, but
no one's going to know if you're right. You could just be making up numbers.
Yeah, it's a type of thing which someone like Jungmoon would learn precisely because it has no real-world relevance at all.
Well, I like that. I like people like that who are just, like, naturally just fascinated by stuff like that. I think those people are always interesting.
Well, you can be fascinated by stuff, but what is there about it to be fascinated by? I mean, as a concept, like, pi is obviously very interesting, but you don't need to know 100 digits to realize that.
Well, I think there's a big difference between what's fascinating about pi for us and for someone like Daniel Tammet, the boy with the incredible brain, who can, like, visualize pi up to, like, 10,000, 20,000 digits. I don't know.
There are rumors that he was actually just memorizing it using techniques and he wasn't actually a sapin. But regardless,
he learned Icelandic in a week.
There are rumors about that as well. But okay. Anyway, okay. So
take this from me, Dom.
Yeah, so as fun as that fact is, I think this is just a horrendous decision on the part of the producers here. And I know when we had Mike Bloom on last week, he said he thought the game design has been progressively better over the course of the 3 seasons. But I think in this season, it's actually dropped off a fair bit, because we said in episode 2 with the horror race, the game itself was interesting, but having it there as a garnet match in episode 2 seemed to be a poor decision. And this, I think, was, if not the worst game of the series so far, it's at least in the bottom 5. And so, you know, I hope that corrects itself fairly soon.
What would you say is the worst game in the series, if this is not it? The Blackout game?
You can make a case for the Blackout game because it's so different from everything else, but I don't think the Blackout game is necessarily a bad game. It's just not really that well suited to the genius. Whereas this, I think, is just a bad game. Okay. Or at least it's a bad game given the rule set that they played it with. Like, maybe if you tweak a few things, it becomes more suitable.
I'm actually going to make... I think my least favorite game was the episode before the Blackout game, the King game. It wasn't the worst episode, but I think the game itself with the giant A and B letters and they're on thumb or pointer where they could easily freeze out two people, and the game rules were such that multiple people could be taken to the death match just by losing the main match. That is not good game design either.
Yeah, that's a good candidate too. But to get more into why I dislike this one so much, I think it's fine to have some central twist to the game as long as it's something which you have to deduce within the game. You know, there's some trick to the game materials, or there's some numerical trick or something like that. But this is, like, if you have this very arcane piece of trivia from outside the game, then you have solved the game. And if you don't know that, and why would you, unless you're Junk Moon, then there's just no hope of you figuring that out. And so, like we saw Human, who... I believe is a maths undergraduate. He knows like 8 digits of pi or something, which is good for maybe 2 rounds. You are not going to know this unless you have very specifically sought this out, and that just doesn't sit well with me. Like it brings the game down to have you learn this random thing as opposed to what can you figure out using your mind and using your social ability.
Okay, well now that I'm thinking this through, not only I think was this game, I agree that this game in general is not one that I would even really want to see on the Genius. Like, yes, it is an interesting theoretical game, but I think in practice, especially this late, you know, relatively late into the game, I would have much preferred just any other random Genius game that they tend to come up with. Because I do actually, just to quickly jump back to that, agree that I think for the first 3 seasons it kept getting better, and now it is kind of dropping off. But I'm wondering if this game is taking a little bit more heat than it should in this episode, I guess, particularly from me, where this is a much different game if Jung Moon doesn't, first of all, know 100 digits of pi, and second of all, be honest about it with the loyalists. Like, it seems like if she knows when the rebels are going to get to take their turns, it seems like she could make up digits, although it is really hard to calculate, and it's easy to get that one thing wrong and then get your entire spot blown up, and that's the end of the game. But it is at least possible for me that if no one knows pi... that this game plays out. I still think the loyalists have a tremendous edge, but it's at least a lot easier for the rebels.
Okay, but then why take that risk? Why use the digits of pi as opposed to any random number sequence?
So I think there are 2 possible outcomes, and the first of which that I'll present, I don't think there's any chance it's possible, which is they knew Jung Moon knew 100 places of pi, and somehow the fix was in some capacity, never going to be the case.
I'm not going to say they definitely knew that, but you know that she's this child prodigy who has been marketed as such and who will have this this wealth of random knowledge. So it's perfectly within her range to know however many digits of pi.
This is not Alison Gradner. I give the producers and game designers way too much credit to think that they would ever put that in if they knew that one person would have such a leg up in knowing it.
I'm not saying that they knew. I'm saying that they maybe thought at the back of their mind, oh, wouldn't it be cool if Jung Moon actually did know this and was able to recite it?
Okay. I guess that's possible. And the second one is just, I think what they thought is, maybe Jung Moon will know it. No one's going to know 100 digits. No one's going to know, even if they know 20 digits of pi, that's not even good for the first round.
Yeah, but then, again, why take that risk? Even if it's only a 1% chance, is there any benefit to having pi over just a randomly generated sequence? Like, you can say to the viewers, oh, well, actually, the digits were pi, and if anyone knew that, then they could have figured it out. But I think then they would have the same objections that we did, that, well, why even have it in that case?
I guess it's because they don't think anyone's going to know it, and it's not like it's like the Fibonacci sequence or whatever, where they can easily deduce the pattern as it's being presented to them. Like, it's got to be something that they can't anticipate.
See, I almost would have been more okay with it being the Fibonacci sequence, because at least then you can... realize that, however easy it might be, and then work to deduce it. Whereas this is just a crapshoot. It's like, if you are the 0.001% of the population that knows pi to 100 places, then congratulations, you have solved the game. And if you haven't, because you have better things to be doing, I guess, then you're not.
I feel like there are probably 7 people in that room that are going to recognize the Fibonacci sequence as soon as they see it, and certainly are going to have it confirmed by the second one. And while they're not going to have it memorized to however many they need, they can certainly just be doing the math quite easily on what numbers they're going to be getting in the future. And I think the reason they used pi is they did not anticipate that anyone would know it. And there's no, it's not like you can, Hyunmin can't be calculating pi by hand and trying to pick the numbers in advance. Yeah. So I think it was a good idea. I think the idea of using pi is taking too much heat. I think they got brutally unlucky that Jungmoon happened to know so much of it. All right. So who were your early reads as you were watching this about who you thought the rebels could possibly be? Because the one that did stand out to me at first was Kyungran, but I thought by the end of the episode that it stood out because they were trying to make it stand out and she would secretly be a civilian or whatever it's called, a loyalist.
Yeah, so you have to think, if this person was a rebel, how would they be acting? And conversely, if they were a loyalist, would they still be acting this way? But my first thought was, as soon as that offer is presented to the rebels, where if one of them defects, then they're guaranteed safety, I started to wonder about Junsok, because I thought, well, because my first instinct was, well, if he's suggesting that, maybe he is a rebel, and so he's setting it up for in 20 minutes' time, when he is going to defect and that agreement is laid in stone. But then I thought, it's so risky, because if the other rebels see him making that suggestion, then they're going to say, okay, thanks, Junsok, I'm a rebel, by the way, and now I'm going to take you up on that. And so, given that it's risky for him to do that, I thought Junsok almost has to be a loyalist, right?
But doesn't Jungmoon almost have to be a loyalist when she's giving the loyalist the solution by that kind of same idea?
No, because that is, you can understand how she might be going for a strategy to help the rebels win with that. Okay. Whereas if Junsok is suggesting a way for the rebels to get out of being a rebel, then that is a lot more suspicious.
Okay, that's a good point.
I don't think John Wing's plan was ever going to work for reasons that we'll get into, but you can at least understand what she was going for. Like, if you're another rebel, you don't want to have to put all of your faith in Jungmoon, but you can understand why she might be doing that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, too. I didn't think that Junsok was ever a rebel at any point because of that. He seemed so happy to put that offer out there. Like, hey, just come clean, be self-interested like I would be. Everyone can go home happy except the other two rebels.
Yeah, and when that's on the table, there are some other people in the cast who you have to think would jump all over that if they were actually a rebel. So maybe Hyunmin would realize that the jig was up and just defect immediately. Kyung-hoon certainly, I think, would not want to remain a rebel under those circumstances. Maybe even Dr. Yoon-sung, right? Like, we see him in the fish shop game be a lot more self-interested and a lot more cutthroat than we'd expected from him in the past. So maybe he would jump off that sinking ship as well.
Well, I think it depends a lot on not only who the person is that's considering the idea, but who the other two people would be that they'd be just completely selling down the river. Like, I don't think Hyunmin would ever do it if Dongmin was one of the people that would automatically go to the death match. But I do think, as I said earlier, I think it would be a race to see who could do it first if it was Hyunmin and Kyung-hoon and Junsok as the three rebels.
Right, and so given that that hasn't happened, you can start to like work backwards and say, okay, well, these two people must either both be rebels or both be loyalists, mm-hmm. and you know, what do we do if that's the case? Because if both Dongmin and Hyunmin are rebels, then it's going to be very difficult to convince a group not to make one of the two of them into the final king, I would say, because Dongmin is just so convincing that casting suspicion on him is going to be difficult. And so I think you kind of have to assume, well, you know, Dongmin and Hyunmin must be loyalists, because if they aren't, we're kind of screwed anyway.
I bet, actually, the more I think about this now, I think the rebels' chances in the dark in this game, and granted the producers would have no way of knowing this for sure, so they shouldn't have run it, I would still say, but I think if Dongmin does draw a rebel card, that like triples the chances that the rebels are going to win, because so much of that win equity is him still being the group leader and him making himself the final king, which is going to happen, I think, a huge piece of the time.
Yeah, and that's a very thin tightrope for him to walk on, like trying to act like the loyalist leader while in fact being the rebel leader. But I think he's shown that he can pull that off. And so that would have been fascinating to watch as well. And I feel like we were kind of robbed of that.
Right. As we said before, you know, the fact that we knew the whole time he was a loyalist really took away a lot, I think, from the episode. Because I think that, quite frankly, is like a huge piece of the way the rebels can actually win.
Yeah, and so going back to your original question, I think Yuen Ren does stand out, regardless of any like physical tells that she's giving off, because she is someone who is always about the team and wants to help the team win. And we know that she's not going to sell her team out. Like, she isn't going to flip from the rebel team. And so, you know, how would she act if she were a rebel? Well, she would probably just kind of sink into the background a bit, right? She wouldn't be very vocal. She would be trying to deflect any attention away from herself, and that is exactly what she's doing.
Right. She would not be sitting on the stairs alone. She would be trying to talk to as many people as possible and read their souls and then steal their souls, right? Because she is the scariest person alive.
Yeah, and so it makes me think, if you're Yuhyun here, you know that Kyung Hoon has been doing some master detective work and he has you on his notepad, and you're about to go into the booth. You know that Kyung Ren is already in jail, and there's good reason to think that that she is the rebel. So you know that if you pump the number up to 99 here, you're going to be outed as a rebel. And if they do stick with that read on Kyung Ren, then the game is over.
Right.
And the two of you are going to the deathmatch. So at that point, regardless of whether you would like to help your team win, do you just go to Dongmin and accept the offer that Junsuk put out there?
That is a really good question, because it seems like Yuen in particular is someone I would have thought would be more inclined to act self-interestedly, in a self-interested way. I don't know how to make that into an adverb. But it seemed like he really did not want to do that, even after his spot had been blown up, and he could have conceivably still sold them out, because it seemed like there was nothing really for him to lose when he's going to be going to the death match, or he's going to be one of the people picked every time. So I think it really did come down to him just thinking, we still at least have some outside shot here, and I don't want to do like the long-term damage to both my reputation in the game as well as probably my reputation in Korea. Because I think probably one thing going overlooked here is to actually pull this off, to sell out your teammates really, really blatantly, and we'll get into how blatantly Jungmoon did that. I think that would be a big deal, probably almost on the scale of like G1 stealing the ID. I think that would probably be among the dirtiest things ever seen on The Genius.
I don't think that at all. Like, is it dirtier than Doohee betraying his team in the King game or anything analogous to that?
I think there is a difference, yes, between directly sending two people that you're supposed to be working with straight to the deathmatch.
Well, we've seen team games in the past where it's... you know, if you flip over and help the other team, all of that team gets a token of life, and two members of your team are guaranteed to go there anyway, possibly including you. So it's I don't see why that really changes the calculation at all.
Okay, maybe I am overstating it. It just feels to me like you're directly sealing two people's fate. People may have a bit of a hard... who weren't willing to sell you out first, people may have a hard time with that.
Yeah, I think... there is a clear difference, though, between this and like the ID controversy, where G1 and Yu Young taking the ID just removes any chance Doohee has to play the game. Whereas in this instance, you know, Kyung Ren could have flipped instead if she wanted to, or, you know, there are other ways that the rebels could guarantee their own individual safety. And I think it's a more a product of the loyalists playing well, where Dongmin immediately takes the reins as a leader. Junsuk puts his offer out on the table, and also any communication between the rebels is shut down instantly. And those circumstances combine to make it just very obvious that the rebels have to defect. Whereas I think in the ID game, it feels very much like the two of them just ganging up on Doohee and targeting him for elimination.
Okay. I mean, those are very good points. I just feel like when they're actually in there, they've got to be concerned in a culture as... I feel like Korea is a pretty judgmental culture, generally speaking, that they don't know how it's going to be received. Like, they have to at least have some kind of concerns. So I feel like there's at least something to that. But you are right that in general... I agree that it's not nearly as malicious, but I think it could certainly be argued the other way as indeed malicious.
And we see Dongmin, I think, take a lot of consideration of that... that perception when he decides to stick to his word with Jungmoon and put Kyung Ren in there instead, because if that weren't a factor for him, I think he would just have Jungmoon go in. Like, we saw him be very willing to sacrifice her in previous episodes, but I think here he realizes that if even once he shows himself to be willing to break a deal, then that sours every possible deal he can make in the future. So
right. Right, yeah. I mean, we've talked about the comparison I've used before is it's like Sangmin has like Dr. Will Kirby immunity where he can lie to and betray as many people as he wants and they'll laugh it off and forgive him the next week. Whereas Dongmin, I think, really has to play a lot more like Dan, where if he betrays anyone, they're going to feel super burned and probably people aren't going to trust him for that much longer.
Everyone just let Dan do it to them again, so I don't know if that's a good comparison, but maybe like Derek, where his whole thing is, I am the good guy, I'm the leader of the group, and anything that tarnishes that perception is something I have to stay away from.
Okay, okay, you are right. That is a much better comparison, because you're right. It's not like everyone's going to turn their back on Dongmin because he kind of screws over one person one week, but I do think a big piece of his success is everyone is so confident in Dongmin.
Yeah, although I thought it was really odd when he was giving the justification for that at the end, where he said, if I go the other way here, then I would lose everyone. I would lose Hyunmin, which didn't make any sense to me. Like, why would Hyunmin, why would he even care? So maybe that's him playing to the cameras almost, and he isn't actually concerned about that at all?
I mean, I do think he has some concerns about it, although, yes, you are right. It's ridiculous to say I would lose Hyunmin when Hyunmin spends the last 20 minutes of the episode begging him to put in Jungmoon.
Right. And like he says, he would lose Junsok, which I can almost buy because Junsok was put himself out there to save Jongmoon against Dongmin in the previous episode. But you know, given that has already happened, I mean, is he going to care? Especially, yeah, Junsok understands betrayal. He's not going to have any like moral scruples about that.
Right. I think that's number one. And number two, does he have Junsok? Do we know, is Junsok like Team Dongmin at this point?
There. Yeah. He's yeah. Floating around.
No, I do think, actually, I think, well, just before I forget to mention this, I think that's awesome having someone like Junsok in there, where, like, having a player like that, who I really believe, Junsok will not care if he gets betrayed. He will totally get it, and he'll get over it the next week, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and also, when Junsok is saying, okay, rebels, come over to our side and betray your group, and there are good things in store for you, he can't then turn around and complain when Dongmin betrays one of those rebels. Like, it's, yeah. Doesn't work like that.
And I mean, I recognize that I'm saying that when he entered this season 3 seasons later saying all he wanted was revenge on Jinho for betraying him, but I think that was a different context where it was like Jinho had a direct choice to keep his closest ally or evict him, essentially, and he chose to evict him. I think that's a little bit of a bigger deal.
And I hope he gets that, by the way. I hope in a few episodes' time, when Jinho assumes all of that has blown over, and Junsok is still very thirsty for revenge, and he finds a way to just screw over Jinho.
Yeah. That, I mean, I really at least hope that we get a shot where it comes down to that, where, like, he has the decision to make, whether he does it or not, whether he screws him or not. He's going to screw
him. It feels like so many of these potential storylines have been nipped in the bud so far. Like, we don't get to see a Jinho versus Yoan showdown. Anything about like Sangmin and some of the winners squaring off, we won't get to see that. And so I hope some of this stuff does develop into something, because otherwise, you know, it's going to be interesting regardless, but it would have this added importance to it.
Well, actually, one thing I meant to bring up, I think there are 2 storylines we could see play out, you know, kind of like throwbacks to their original seasons. We still have this group, it looks like, that's going to be working together next week. The Friends of Sangmin, as Mike Bloom put it, where it's Jinho, Kyungran, Dongmin, and Hyunmin. And that is 2 pairs of people who played against each other in the finals. And I think at least one of those 2 pairs is going to be around intact for a little while. Like, I honestly, at this point, I feel like... actually, I'd like to make a bet on this. So someone get at me. Koss, if you're listening, get at me on this. I would like to make a bet that we see an exact rematch of the season 3 final, that it's Dongmin and Hyunmin again in the finals.
What odds would you want on that?
I think gut impulse, I think a fair line, I would probably want like 4 or 5 to 1 on that. On those two exactly.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, I think it's probably 15-20% at least. To happen. And I also think it's completely within the realm of possibility with Jinho and Kyungran, although I think it's less likely. But like, if we do lose Dongmin or Hyunmin anytime soon, then that Jinho and Kyungran storyline could be one of the bigger things we see play out.
I guess the one issue I would have is, I think Hyunmin, as we get down the stretch, like we saw in season 3, he had to bail Dongmin out in some of those later games where it's much more about individual performance, and Dongmin's ability to convince a group to do what he wants them to do was not as important anymore. And we saw Hyunmin have to bail him out in the train auction game where Hyunmin just dominated on every front. And I think as we get down to this final stretch, I think Heung-min does not want to lose to Dongmin again in the finals. And as much as he might enjoy that storyline of this repeat finals performance, I think, you know, if he can take an easier opponent there, then he will. And so Dongmin would not be able to rely on his help so much anymore.
Although, I mean, he watched Dongmin play Monorail, and he played against Dongmin in the finals. I don't think Heung-min would necessarily even be that afraid of Dongmin in a rematch of play. He probably wouldn't be his number one draft pick. I'm sure he'd rather play against Kyung-hoon or whatever. But I could see him. I could see him wanting to take Dongmin above like even Jin-ho potentially.
Well, on some level as well, it has to be scarring to go be down 8-3 or whatever it was in the vote essentially. And so I could easily see that happening again because everybody seems to love Dongmin. It's even when he is the one taking charge of the group and losing the game because of it, no one seems to harbor any ill will towards him. And the influence he has in this group is just so disproportionate that it might just happen again. Like, he might hoover up all the votes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a potentially compelling case to be made, depending on how much Heung-min really wants to go to the end with Dongmin again. Like, if they have a final two deal locked in place, I think Heung-min's equity goes down drastically if he's going to do everything to help Dongmin. I think there's a case to be made that Dongmin may be the front runner even more so than Heung-min.
Yeah, because if you're going up against Dongmin, if it's based purely on understanding of the games, then you might have an edge, you being a Heung-min or whoever else. If it's you going up against Dongmin when he has an 8-3 lead or a 7-4 lead in the advantage items, then I don't know if that's true anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the more we talk about this, I mentioned earlier that Yu Yun was half of my team in our real money auction draft. And so Dongmin is the other half of that team, and he's the only person I have left. I still feel okay about that. I feel like I have a decent piece of equity
I think you are the front runner at this point.
I don't know. You have Heung-min and Jin-ho, so I would say you are the front runner at this point.
Oh, sure. I forgot just how expertly well I drafted that. But, yeah, in the other draft, I have just Heung-min because Yo-an was taken from me very early. So, I mean, that's still fine, but maybe not. I have all of my eggs in one basket, essentially.
I love how the way that draft went down, the real money one, it was us and Ian Terry and our other friend Charles. And Dom and I each only took two people. Charles took three, and Ian took Sangmin and then, like, all of the lowest-ranked people entering the season. And then he lost Sangmin immediately. So he had, like, seven people and easily the worst team. But anyway, so one thing I kind of mentioned in passing that I want to go back to quickly is Heung-min towards the end of this, you know, people were believing Heung-min, not Dongmin, thankfully for the loyalists, but other people seemed to actually believing that she was indeed a loyalist herself. And Heung-min was basically pleading with Dongmin to please, dear God, just put Jung-moon in with Yu-yun and we know we're going to win. And I think this is interesting. Like, we kind of talked about this in terms of Dongmin's decision making and how it's going to impact his reputation. But I think in general, like the way different people have to play the game so differently based on completely external factors, where when you're Heung-min, you're, like we talked about, a semi-famous, I guess, but generally speaking, you're just a college kid who shows up and is only known for the genius, and all you care about is a token of life, whereas for Dongmin, so much more has to go into that decision.
Yeah, especially given the controversy that he was embroiled in recently, I think there's, repairing his reputation, even if it is by sticking true to one agreement on a TV game show, you know, it goes some way towards repairing that.
The greatest thing in the world would be if he had put in Jung-moon with Kyung-ran and let Yu-yun be the last one out.
Just a coincidence, guys, yeah, nothing to see here.
That would have been too much. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we get the big reveal here, and I'm going to be honest, and Dom, you're the only one who knows this, but as I was watching this reveal happen live, I was thinking to myself, I had my hopes very high up that this episode was about to be incredible, and we were about to get a sick rewind, and we know Yu-yun's a rebel, but Kyung-ran is, and I was so ready for it to say loyalist, and then we get a flashback, and this is my fan fiction theory, and Dom, I'm sure you were laughing at me the whole time as I was like live blogging this to you as I was watching it. I thought Kyung-hoon was the other rebel. I thought it was within the realm of possibility. I thought he was doing basically what I think would be smart, and just wiping his hard drive clean and just saying, what would I be doing if I was a loyalist? And just going so over the top loyalist-y, even keeping up the scene like a character actor in his one-on-one interviews where he's doing his Sherlocking. By the way, pun alert, the K-Hounds of Baskerville, thank you.
Very good.
Where's
anyway,
the applause?
There we go. That would have been great. I was hoping after we had four episodes where Human was this major player, and after he was humbled, essentially, by two of these other groups in episode four, I was expecting, after we saw nothing of him, basically, this time around, I was hoping that Kieran's card would flip over, it says Loyalist, and then we cut to Human kind of looking around in slow motion.
Yeah.
And we get this flashback, I guess, to him being the rebel all along. That would have been fun.
Yeah, he was, I think, the only other person I had on my radar as a possibility, just because I think he would have absolutely killed it and played it probably similarly if he was the other person.
Or, coming out of episode four, if Dr. Jonsson had been a rebel here, and two episodes in a row of him just clowning everybody, I would have liked that too.
That would have been great. But like I was saying, like, I was so ready for basically, like, the beat to drop, and we would, you know, rewind. And at the end of the day, I was, like, really almost, like, super deflated just seeing Kyung-ran is a rebel. I thought the way this episode was being set up, and that's kind of why I'm so unhappy with it, you know, relatively speaking, I still think it's a great episode in the grand scheme of reality TV. It just felt like they were completely getting my hopes up for some big thing to happen, and I just expect so much more at this point from the genius. And at the end of the day, it really is a testament to just how amazing most of the episodes are, that even one as solid as this compared to any episode of Survivor, or, you know, most episodes of Survivor or Big Brother, to be a letdown.
Also, it's worth noting that Dongmin has this early read on Kyung-ran, and so he sends Jin-ho in to the jail with her to try and confirm that read. And Jin-ho, despite spending more time with Kyung-ran than anybody else in the episode, comes away firmly convinced that she is a loyalist and that they're making a big mistake. So you look at Jin-ho's arc this season. In episode one, the defining memory of him is throwing his legal pad down after everything is going after everything is blowing up and he can't control it. Then episode two, he's on the losing team. In episode three, he's in the majority and does some good work there, so that's fine. And then in episode four, not only does he not realize this idea of teaming up with someone and offering the lowest price for all of the fish, but he sides with Dongmin, not knowing about Dongmin's plan, and then deliberately offers more than he should do, and then puts himself in a position where Dongmin has to contort his play to bail Jin-ho out, just because, as Dongmin said, Jin-ho wants to be the icon of loyalty or whatever. And so you look at that, and then you see his performance here. Jin-ho is not having a good season, and yet we're getting down to like the final seven now. It doesn't seem like he's going anywhere anytime soon. And so he could be in a pretty decent position to go deep again.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And I think this is one thing that we got very right. I think it's safe to say already that we got this right, that Jin-ho is an extremely overrated player in general. And I used to always preface that by saying, wrap that up by saying, I don't think he's actively bad. I just don't think he's as good as people think he is. It's starting to look like he might be actively bad compared to some of these other people, or at least the way he's choosing to play this season. It just seems like he's not adjusting at all to his competition being people like Jeonsok and Hyunmin.
Yeah, I think it's a case of Jin-ho wins the first season, and even then I think he was a bit overrated. I don't think he was the best player on that season, did not play the best game, but he acquires this reputation and this mythology gets built up around him. But as we get into this All-Star season now, and the game has been on for four seasons, it feels like it's just passed him by. Like, he's just not competing on the same level as anybody else anymore.
It's like watching Colby play Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other person who also seems to be outmatched in the same way as Kyung-ran, who again is a season one person. So despite the season two massacre that we've seen so far, the season one people maybe have the worst performance in terms of just like staying up to date with everything that's going on around them.
Yeah. And I think the thing with Jin-ho is the reason he's the icon of the genius is not only because he won season one, but I think with American viewers, the two big moments that probably stand out to them from season one are not, I guess Sangmin in general is like the big takeaway from just the genius all around, and that starts in season one. But I think the pilot episode where the Garnet heist, I think, is the first thing that obviously hooks everyone. And I would say other than that, the big thing that people remember is Jin-ho in Open Pass. I think that is like what a lot of people think of as like one of the big iconic moments of the franchise, even till today. And then for that to happen, and then for him to then also go on to win and win a few death matches and, you know, win the season. And then also in season two, like, he won the first four main matches, and if he had just drawn that God Bill, he probably gets the token of immortality and is in a crushing position to win season two as well.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah, I mean, a decent run in season two, certainly. But it looks like that is going to be, I would say, his best performance across all three seasons here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree at all that he's...
Quite conceivably, Jinho could win season one and go on to win season four, and I might still be tempted to argue that season two was his best season in terms of understanding the games and just the talent that he displayed there.
I think, you know, depending on how the last half of the back half of this season goes, I'm totally with you. I think a compelling case could be made, because at this point, it certainly seems like he's streets behind everyone else. Apart from Kyungren, who, again, it just seems like didn't even watch the seasons at all, and, like, doesn't even really care.
Yeah, and then you have Jungmoon, who has been, I don't want to say targeted, because I think a lot of that is her drawing the wrong card at the wrong time or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But she has never really gained any traction so far in this season. And the one opportunity she has here to make a play and maybe... lead the Rebels to a win, she isn't able to go for. And Junsok, who is the first boot in Season 1, is maybe the best Season 1 cast member so far in terms of not just his raw influence over the game, but in how well he's been playing.
I think Junsok is easily the best Season 1 cast member, so with Sangmin removed from the equation. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think it's worth noting, though, that Jungmoon, never been to a deathmatch so far. Jinho, never been to a deathmatch so far. And Kyungran went to one under very weird circumstances and almost got out of it.
Well, she did get out of it.
No, almost got out of even going, and then she did win it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of our individual reads have been off the season. Like, we underrated Dongmin, I think, and overrated Heung-min and some other stuff. But I think a lot of our big picture reads, like Jinho being overrated and things like Kyungran not going to a deathmatch unless she gets picked. Like here, you know, I don't think there's any chance she goes unless she draws the Rebel card and ends up being jailed at the end.
Right.
Like, nobody wanted her to go to the deathmatch, it seemed, and we had everybody except Dongmin basically begging him to pick Jungmoon instead.
Like, I think next week we could show up, and I think Jungmoon could easily get picked, potentially, even though the games are starting to just swing more and more towards what she's good at, so maybe not. I feel like it's going to be really rare that we show up and we watch the episode and it's one of Jinho or Kyungran getting picked next week.
Yeah, although I come back to this question I posed to you earlier of who is getting picked then, because nobody seems like an appealing prospect here. And maybe it is Jungmoon. Like, maybe when Sangmin said, oh, no one can beat Jungmoon in a death match, maybe that was just him speaking what was on his mind and that's not reflective of what other people think. But yeah, I think the pool of appealing deathmatch opponents is dwindling very quickly here.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm going to take that completely back, because it looks like next week's game is going to be broken down into friends of Sangmin versus enemies of Sangmin, for lack of a better term. So it looks like if it's not a team versus team, as in safety versus deathmatch candidates thing, that it will be just one person from each team going into the deathmatch. So it could easily be Jinho or Kyungran who gets picked. But I think, generally speaking, they're the less preferable targets. I still think that it's not the case yet that there's no one people are not terrified of playing against. Like, how are people terrified of playing against Kyunghoon? All right, so let's move on now. Let's go to the death match. It is Kyungran against Yuyun. And Kyungran here, interestingly, she does not choose to veto either of the poker games, even though Yuyun is a professional poker player slash English teacher, by the way. So let's really do what we can to get Yuyun on here. I thought this was interesting that she doesn't veto them. And I think this kind of just lends more weight to my theory that she doesn't really even care that much. Like, this is just another show to her where she just thinks, well, if I'm going to lose, I might as well lose at something he's good at. Like, it's not... The consideration is not how do I maximize winning, it's how do I minimize looking embarrassed when I lose.
Yeah, and she was laying it on so thick with this, oh, I'm guaranteed to lose, I just want to go out in the least embarrassing way possible thing. So, firstly, I thought, like, and some other people seem to think that this was just mind games and she was bluffing, but I think she clearly was being sincere about that. Like, she expected to lose and maybe was just making a big production out of it. But also, the fact that they showed that and the fact that they were building that up so intently, if she did actually go on to lose, it would just seem so underwhelming, I guess. Like, people want to see Kyungran do well, and so if she is just essentially conceding defeat, then I think a lot of people would not be satisfied with that ending. And so, to me, that hinted quite strongly at her overcoming the odds and taking down the poker pro in a game of poker, even though, you know, there's a lot more nuance to it than that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I think this is a classic example of what we call giving yourself an emotional free roll, where, hey, if I win, then I win, and that's awesome. And if I lose, well, then I knew I was going to lose the whole time, and it's fine. Yeah, which is a classic tactic in all forms of poker, and it's really annoying all the time. So they are playing Indian poker here, and I was really thinking, of course, that Yuyun is going to be the favorite here, just because he knows how to, you know, how to size his bets better. We saw Kyungran play Indian Hold'em or Indian poker against Jinho in the finals of season one, where, reminder for people saying that Yuyun should have just called against a one when he has 14 chips or whatever. Remember that Kyungran called it off against a four bet against a nine in the finals. But before we get there, let's talk about the first interesting hand. And there are only really two interesting hands. And the first is when Yuyun re-raises to try to get Kyungran to fold a 10. And they were pretty even in chips. I think she was up a little bit in chips here. But Dom, what was your take on this? Because for me, I felt the same way that I felt about Yowon entering Indian poker that we talked about in our season two podcast, where he had the completely right idea. Just raise two chips every single time you're the first one to act and just call if they have just like a medium strength card. Only really be raising if they have something super bad. And there is some idea, like we saw Jinho successfully do it in season one, to raise to try to get him to fold a 10. But just because of the downside, I feel like people are going to be more prone to calling. And just because of human nature in general, that's why poker is profitable. People are just so prone to calling, even when they know they're beat. What was your thought on Yuyun making this play to try to get her to lay down a 10 when it seems like, in general, he's going to have an advantage if he just plays it straightforward?
Yeah, so I think most of the time you can make arguments for that because, you know, the prospect of folding a 10 is psychologically quite scary for a lot of people. They don't want to be that person who folded a 10 and then, you know, that leads to their demise. And so that obviously affects the odds as well, so you need to take that into account. The thing, though, with Kyungran specifically is, since her loss in the Season 1 finals, I doubt she has played or thought about any form of poker since then until, you know, Dongwin was giving her the correct coaching session here. And so the one, like, abiding memory that Kyungran has is losing in the finals because she folded a 10. And so, you know, I would expect if that situation were to come up again, she's going to think, well, he's going for the same play again. I don't want to be folding a 10 again. I'm going to call and see what happens. And so I would be much more inclined to bet big against a 1 and try to, like, level her into making a loose call instead of doing this and basically playing into all of her worst fears.
Right. I think it's the... Yes, there is a huge reward in psychologically in getting her to fold a 10. But at the same time, you're only picking up like an extra two chips when you're risking 10 and you know you lose if you get called. And she's getting decent enough odds that she's going to call for sure. I feel like this is Yuyun kind of being on level two and Kyungran honestly being on level three, where she's anticipating exactly what he's doing. Because yes, there is merit to the idea of when the penalty is that steep, that's why there's a penalty. It's to try to get people to make plays and try to induce other people to fold tens. But I don't know. I feel like, especially when you're Yuyun and you feel like you should feel, in my opinion, like you have such a big edge. If you just play ABC and just grind her down until you get, even if you're losing a little bit, the downside when this doesn't work and suddenly you're way down in chips is not worth the extra four chips.
Yeah. And also as the game goes long, your reads on her will be better than her reads on you. You will be keeping track of which cards have been seen better than she will be. And so all of these other advantages that you have will accrue over time. And you don't want to cut that short by giving her a massive lead that maybe she can use to end the game quickly.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Yuyun, I doubt he, you know, had the forethought to say, hey, if I'm playing against each opponent in each different deathmatch today, what am I going to be doing? But I wonder if he knew that, or if he remembered, I'm sure he saw it the first time, that Kyungran folded that 10 against Jinho in season one, where I bet if he had like a vivid recollection of that, he probably would have known that she would be a little, scared potentially to be making big laydowns. So I'm curious, I'd love to potentially interview him and find out about this, because I bet if he knew that had happened to her, that he probably wouldn't have gone for this, especially so early. And it also seems like someone may have reminded him, someone who was helping him, when he knew he was playing against Kyung Ran, potentially could remind him.
See, it didn't seem to me, and we only saw a small segment of that preparation, so who knows, but it seemed like he wasn't being helped by anyone, because I don't know if he requested help or not, but I think a lot of people would have assumed, okay, he's the poker pro here, he doesn't need or want my assistance, whereas Kyung Ran doesn't, you know, by her own admission, doesn't know what she's doing here, so she's the one who needs the help.
Yeah, I guess so, but it seems like if he had even known that she had played Indian poker before, he probably would have at least tried to get something out of Jin-ho, who beat her.
Assuming Jin-ho was inclined to help him, which I'm not sure would be the case, but regardless. So another thing that I think plays into this situation is he's unlucky enough that his card is a 2 here, and so obviously it's a lot easier for Kyung-ran to justify making that call when it's against a 2 rather than against a higher number. The question I have for you is, what do you think is the lowest number where she starts to consider folding, or where, you know, the fact that the number is whatever it is starts to play into her decision?
I think she starts to consider folding if it's a 3. I think she probably does fold if it's a 5. I don't know if she folds if it's a 5, though, now that I think about it. Because the thing is, I don't know what level she's thinking about it on, but it seems like she does understand that he's only going to be 3-betting against a 1, a 2, or a 10. So whether he has a 3, 4, or 5 really shouldn't make a difference, but I think in her mind it will.
Yeah, and if it's a 5 or a 6, she might think, well, it's kind of 50-50, and so, you know, the loss to me if I end up folding and it's a 10 and I lose all of those chips and I repeat the same mistake that I made before, as opposed to I call and I'm wrong, you know, that's heavily slanted in one direction.
Yeah. So I think she honestly is probably going to talk herself into a call. I don't think she can call against an 8, 9, or 10, obviously. I really think it's tough, even knowing that it's not a difference maker. You're going to look so foolish if you're wrong, if you call it off against a 7 and it turns out you have a 1.
Yeah, although, as you said, she called off that big bet against a 9 in the season 1 final. So, you know, it's hard to predict how she might play here. But, yeah, I think that's a decent point.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that idea where we had this second hand of interest where Yu Yun ends up jamming against a 1, going all in against a 1. I've heard some people say, and he even said himself, like, oh, I thought about just calling because I didn't want it to come down to this. Where, you know, as we know in The Genius and as we bitched about ad nauseum, if you'd like to check that out for our season 2 podcast about the fact that these tied hands don't just get split up evenly like they would in real poker. Instead, it stays in the pot. And it just essentially a ton of the time Indian poker is going to come down to they get it in with the nut low against the nut low, and then we're just flipping coins. So they did not, in fact, change this rule, which I thought they might. But anyway, Yu Yun, you know, Kyung Ran raises, she's showing a 1. Yu Yun ends up jamming, I think, for 14 chips. Some people, as I said, have been saying this is just a call. I think this is 100% you have to shove here, especially knowing what we know, where she called it off against a 4-bet against a 9. I think this is a complete no-brainer, and if it's a coin flip, then hey, I guess I'm flipping a coin to get back to even in chips.
Yeah, you maybe have some fold equity. Turns out he has a 1, and Kyung Ran waits for an inordinate amount of time before calling, just to slow roll him. So that plays into it too, and yeah, I don't think you can fold. Like, I don't think there's going to be a better spot that comes up that you can realistically wait for here.
No, I mean, she is what, if season 1 is any indication, and I think generally speaking, she's what we call a calling station. She just wants to see it. She has to be certain. Yeah,
and if you do win that flip, you're back up to even, and then, as we said, you have a better idea of the way she's going to play. You've been keeping track of the cards, so you know so you have a good idea of what's going to come, and so you can has to be at a pretty sizable advantage if he manages to win that flip there. And yeah, as it happens, he doesn't, and that's the end of him.
One thing you touched on, I think probably getting eliminated was the second most brutal part of Yu Yun's day. Kyung Ran slow rolled the fuck out of him when he shoves all in, and then she sits there and thinks about it. The slow roll is when she knows she can't lose. She's facing a 1. There's nothing she can hold that is even debatable folding. She should be beating him into the pot. As soon as he's all in, she should be calling immediately. Maybe they said, hey, pause between everything for TV purposes so we can show you sitting and thinking. And in that case, then I apologize. But this is the most brutal slow roll given the stakes.
Yeah, and Yuhyun can see that she has a one, and so the fact that she's even thinking about it at all suggests to him that clearly he can't have a one, because why would she be thinking for so long? So he must be thinking, okay, I'm about to double up here, and it's going to be perfect, and then, you know, it all goes downhill.
Right, that's the point. When she even has anything to think about, he's sitting there praying that she finds a call, because he knows for sure he's going to double up if she calls, and then when she thinks forever and then calls, and then he loses a coin flip to lose, that is just so brutal. Yeah. But that, hey, I mean, what are you going to do? I guess what you could do is change the rule, but apparently that was off the table. So, Dom, let's give some parting thoughts on Yuhyun now.
Okay, so coming into the season, he was someone that we thought was a good dark horse pick, because based on season three, he was often the person who had ideas, even if they weren't necessarily the right ideas, and just wasn't really able to follow through because Dongmin and Hyunmin were just, you know, they had all their bases covered. And so coming into this season, we expected the two of them as a pair to be less dominant and then to be lots of other opposing forces going around. And so Yuhyun maybe would have a lot of pieces to move around if he wanted to. And we saw that play out to some extent. He wasn't really a big presence in the first few episodes. Like episode one, he has that read on Sangmin where he sees the cards being swept at the end, but that doesn't really amount to anything. Episode two, he's on the losing team, so that wasn't a good week. Episode three, he's in the majority, but not really a vocal member of it, it seems. And then episode four, he does come up with the right idea. He teams up with Kyunghoon, which I don't think anybody saw coming, and comes very close to winning. So that was a great episode for him. And then coming into this week, if he doesn't draw the rebel card, as we said, it's so easy for a random loyalist to avoid being in any danger here this week that I think he would have made it out unscathed. And even after, like, you can say maybe he should have sold out the rebels or whatever, but even after that happens, you know, he goes up against Kyungran in a poker death match, and even despite that, going into next week, if he survives, he would be tied for the most garnets, so he would have a decent shot of winning the garnet match, and then at that point he would go into episode 7 with the most garnets, and then, you know, so he could parlay that into another deep run. And it's worth noting as well, the reason that he had the most garnets coming in, because he didn't get them by winning any of the games, is at the end of episode 4, when Yunsun was deciding how to divvy up her garnets after she lost, she gave two to him because he was the person that she had talked the most to and felt the most comfortable with. And we said back in episode 2, when he and the other team were competing for her loyalty, that it's a surprise that neither of them really put in that much work with her beforehand. But maybe that was wrong. Like, maybe he was the one who ended up swaying her there. And if that's the case, then it shows he was doing some good work behind the scenes that we weren't privy to.
Yeah, Yuhyun was certainly very high. I think I had a number 2 on my equity rankings entering this season, which I certainly will grant was too high. I think Hyunmin and Dongmin alone are the clear numbers 1 and 2. And Sangmin certainly did well until he got invested in Kyunghoon. I certainly had very high expectations for Yuhyun. I am very sad to see him go, but I'm totally with you. Like, I think his biggest problem, I think he's a talented player whose biggest problem both times has been that he just can't overcome Dongmin. Like, Dongmin, he can't pull people away from Dongmin's grasp. And it's unfortunate, I think, for him, not only to draw the criminal in season 3 and the rebel, and also to get slow rolled and then lose the coin flip. Like, he's run really bad. But I also feel like he's run the worst in just having to play both times against Dongmin and Hyunmin. But certainly, yeah, someone I think generally has a lot of talent for the game. But that, you know, that's just, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and as a viewer, you know, obviously I was very sad to see Junghyun go. And Sangmin's meltdown, if you want to call it that, in episode 3 was kind of fascinating to watch as well. But in terms of just how sorry I felt for the person involved. Like, Yuhyun had a really brutal episode here. Like, firstly, drawing the rebel card, and then being outed as a rebel by Kyunghoon, which has to be humiliating in and of itself, and then going on to lose the main match, having to go in there against Kuman, who he seemed to get along quite well with, and she was basically set on losing to him in poker because he just refused to veto either of the poker games, and then he ends up losing to her after this massive slow roll at the end. So in terms of, like, putting myself in their shoes and feeling bad for them, that has to be near the top of the list.
I'm going to put out, this is a hot take. This is a blazing hot take. I have no reservations making this statement. I think Yuhyun is a better genius player than Jinho.
Yeah, I think people would see that as a much hotter take than it probably should be, but I could maybe get on board.
Yeah, I mean, at what aspect, it seems like Yu-Yun is a far more self-interested player. He seems totally capable in doing whatever the calculations of the day need to be. He seems fine as far as interacting with other people. It's not like people are ever ostracizing him, or it's like, oh, we got to get rid of Yu-Yun. Until, you know, granted, Kyung-hoon this episode sees him writing to Kyung-ran. But short of that, like in a normal environment, he always seems to be totally having lines of communication open with people. I would definitely take him, I think, in a random death match against Jin-ho.
Yeah, of course, lots of things change between seasons and circumstances change as well. But if you watched season 4 without having seen any of seasons 1, 2, or 3, you would not think that Jin-ho is a winner and regarded by many as one of the best players of all time. You'd think, well, like, why is this guy even here?
I would think he would be along the same lines as, like, Kyung-hoon. Just kind of, like, there, not as aggressively bad, but just kind of there as, like, a comedy figure, almost.
Or, like, Jansok, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
But even Jansok has been on better form than Jin-ho has so far.
If I was just watching this season for the first time, I would think Jansok would have a much bigger reputation entering the season than he had. I would have thought he would have been one of the iconic players of the series entering this. And granted, I still stand by. I think I said it either last week or the week before. I think we got totally robbed of Jun-sok being a huge character in season 1. And I'm thrilled. As I said earlier, again, I love having someone like Jun-sok in there just so willing to mix it up.
Yeah, and just thinking about the differences between season 1 and season 4, it makes you wonder, like, what if Gura had come back for season 4? And we see, like, Dongmin versus Gura as, like, this alpha male struggle for dominance.
Well, here's another hot take. I was really happy that we did not see Gura back for season 4, because as people who listen to our season 1 podcast will remember, I really didn't care for how he went out. Like, I know I've lost my taste for this or whatever. To me, it looked like he just quit, which I was not happy about. It's not like a survivor like Jeff Probst putting shame on him forever. I'm just saying, if you're, like, I take this seriously as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I want them to want it, I guess. So, as I've said, next week it looks like we're going to be playing this game. It's a Garnet match called Garnet Thief, which just alone sounds really exciting. It sounds like, hopefully, something that more so than Horror Race is going to let Garnets move a little bit more freely. I think that's going to be the critical point of interest for any Garnet match.
Yeah, and that is going to be very crucial here, I think, because Yu-Hyun had the most Garnets and now he's gone. So you have Kyung-hoon, Hyun-min, and Dr. Yun-sun on 8 Garnets because they were winning loyalists here. Dongmin, Jun-sok, and Jin-ho on 5 Garnets because they had 4 and they won this match. And then Kyung-ran and Jung-moon in last place on 4. So the two losing rebels from this match, who I imagine have some bad blood based on how this main match ended, they will be squaring off next episode to see which one of them can climb out of the gutter there.
Yeah, that could be interesting because it looks like the game, the way it's going to work just based on the preview, is that it's clearly like a game that is best played 4-on-4. Like they're going to split into two teams, the aforementioned friends of Sangmin and enemies of Sangmin. So I think that could be really interesting and probably really good in the grand scheme of things for Jung-moon, that in a general game, I would think Kyung-ran could probably rally more support than Jung-moon could at this point. But now that it's split 4-4, she's like basically assured like an army almost.
So not knowing anything further about the rules for next week, my take, and I'm interested to hear what you think about this, I want to be on a team with either Kyung-ran or Jung-moon. And I want to be with whichever of them I feel less attached to, because my ideal situation is I team up with them, that person has the least garnets, while I am able to get a few myself, they go to the deathmatch, I don't get picked, and I survive another week without any repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, the way one approaches forming a plan for garnet matches is so drastically different, right? Because it's not only... it's so much more predictable, I guess, as far as who's going to lose. Like, you know it's not going to be any of the people near the top in all likelihood, unless we get, like, another game along the lines of, like, the final 3 game in Season 3, which, in fact, was the first Garnet match. Fun fact, they literally played it in Garnets, and whoever had the least Garnets at the end lost. First Garnet match, not in Season 4. But so if it's something like that where they can really move around, then maybe it's different. But it does seem like, yeah, you're exactly right. Like the first thing you have to think about is how does my alliance picking impact how likely I am to go to the death match, let alone whatever the rules of the main match are.
Yeah, and so unless garnets are being generated and moving around very frequently, then the people on 8 points, so Kyung-hoon, Hyun-min, and Yoon-sun, they don't really have too much to worry about, and they have the freedom to do basically whatever they want because it's very hard for any of them to end up having the least garnets.
I think it's interesting, just kind of quick tangent, that we noted no one got any garnets in episode 4, so the prize pool entering both times was 49,000, and then this week it was 49,000. I'm pretty sure we lost garnets from the prize pool this week, right? Because only a few of them got them. I think 6 came in for the loyalists, but 8 went out with Yuyun. So we're down to 40. Like, over the last 3 weeks, they have cumulatively lost 2 garnets from the prize pool, I think. So I guess, yeah, I'm looking forward to next week. Dom, I assume you have Hyunmin or Dongmin at number 1. Which would you put at number 1? Who is more likely to win right now?
Yeah, I would have to say Dongmin. Like, I think at this stage, you know, we say, oh, he handles the social side of his alliance and Hyunmin handles the calculation side. Hyunmin has been really behind the mark on that regard this season, and Dongmin has actually been better than him. You think back to episode 4, Dongmin was saying the original plan was for Hyunmin to bid 1 for everything, but Hyunmin got greedy and just went off and did his own thing. Meanwhile, Dongmin was able to stay true to Hyunmin while also enacting the 6x1 strategy, if you like, of just bidding 1 for everything, guaranteeing himself that floor of 6 points. And so he was never going to the deathmatch. Nobody was ever picking him. And yet he was able to remain loyal to Hyunmin throughout. So he had a great episode while Hyunmin had a bad one, which I think is a distinction that needs to be made there. And you look at the other episodes, Dongmin has always been just leading the group, doing well for himself. Everyone still seems to look up to him. So, you know, I don't see where the opposition is coming from in the short term. And if he does get to the end, as we said, you know, he could easily scoop up all of the votes to win again.
Yeah, I mean, you do make really compelling points, and I'm glad to hear every one of them because I have him in both of the drafts. However, I do think, you know, Dongmin's skill, as we talk about all the time, is, you know, corralling all these people and getting them to do what he wants, essentially, whereas Hyunmin is the math guy, the calculations guy. I think Dongmin, that's going to start mattering less and less, whereas Hyunmin is, I think, inevitably going to improve with these calculations based on whatever the games are. We saw him really shine in the endgame in Season 3. So I'm thinking it's going to, you know, Hyunmin's strengths are going to just gradually become more and more important, whereas Dongmin's are going to gradually become less and less important. Dom, you own Hyunmin in both of our auction leagues. I own Dongmin in both of our auction leagues. I will trade you in either league, Dongmin for Hyunmin, and then if either of them wins, we both get paid.
Oh, wow.
You can pick which one. You can pick the one with the $150 prize pool or the $60 prize pool. I will take in either one.
I will have to think about that.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
Stay tuned on that front. Although, you have to make the decision before we watch the next episode, obviously.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think... Yeah, and I was giving some points earlier about how, you know, as we get down to the end, Dongmin's skill at getting people to do what he wants matters less, and Hyunmin's skill set matters more. All that being said, I still think Dongmin, it just seems so effortless for him at the moment. And we've seen him get frustrated by Junsuk or Kyung-hoon, and it's mostly the two of them, not sticking to his plan and having to think around that. But whatever repercussions there are, never end up coming back to him. It's always somebody else who ends up being the unfortunate victim.
Right, and it's nothing new. It was entire story in Season 3, as they talked about.
Yeah, I at this point, would you be willing to say that Dongmin is better than Sangmin as a player?
Yes, I was thinking that to myself. I'm not fully willing to say that. I gotta, like, put more thought into it, just because I don't think either of them is, like, that strong in death matches. I think Dongmin's substantially better than Sangmin based on what we've seen. God, is that even fair? I don't know. I can't answer questions that large without having put, but I was thinking that to myself the other day. I was thinking, I entered this season thinking no matter what pretty much anyone does, I really doubt that anyone's going to overtake Sangmin in my esteem. But I honestly, I feel like it's out of the realm of possibility even for Hyunmin. I think Dongmin could do it.
Yeah, I think lots of people had Sangmin over Dongmin. I had Hyunmin over Dongmin, and neither of the two of them is having a good season. Sangmin, obviously, because he's not there anymore, and Hyunmin has just been lackluster in every episode so far, whereas Dongmin is, despite whatever mistakes he's making, he is just he's putting on a very impressive display here.
Yeah, I actually had Dongmin one spot above Sangmin. But I would definitely have him higher, of course, now knowing what I know. And I will actually retract. I think, of course, if Hyunmin goes on from this point and just, like, crushes every single main match, which is well within the realm of possibility, that Hyunmin I could walk away thinking is a better genius player than Sangmin. And honestly, I don't think either of those is that ridiculous at this point. Like, I think it's well within the realm of possibility, not just, like, an outside chance. Yeah. So who do you have at number three, even? Is it, like, can it possibly be Jinho?
It might be. I don't know. Jinho is moving very quickly up the fashion power rankings here. Like, I enjoyed his, like, preppy job interview look this episode.
I feel so betrayed because Jinho in season one dressed exactly like I dress, and I took so much pride in Jinho. But now, yeah, he's blown me off. All right.
And he seems to iron his shirts properly, which is a big sticking point for me.
Yeah. How happy are you now that Yuyun's gone and maybe he can go buy himself an iron?
I'm very disappointed, but it feels like karma in one sense.
You know what? I'm very tempted to put my boy Dr. Yoon Sung at three, even though it feels like he's still probably going to get picked, even though I don't think he should. Like, he's going to be one of the higher priority deathmatch pick people. But I still feel like he's got a decent enough shot. It just feels like, honestly, Hyunmin and Dongmin are doing so well.
I don't hate it. I might be tempted to put Junsuk at number three.
Yeah, that crossed my mind as well. And I mean, hey, who knows what the long-term... What do you think the long-term ramifications are going to be for Jungmoon? Like, are we going to walk in... I know it's going to be a Garnet match, so that'll change things. Like, it will be a little bit more hostile, probably. I honestly feel like we could pretty likely see exactly Jungmoon against Kyungran next week in the death match.
Yeah, I think if it does turn into friends of Dongmin versus people who want to be friends of Dongmin but aren't included in that group, then Kyungran counts as a friend of Dongmin, or I imagine that's still going to be the case. And so she's going to have like the institutional support, if you like, to get past Jungmin there.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Should be interesting. It's weird how little we've talked about Kyunghyun, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good episode, I dare to say, this week. Like, after the first four episodes, where I was almost inclined to think that the ruins in the opening shot and the premiere were just a metaphor for his existence on the show. Like, this week, he actually did pretty well for himself. You know, going around touching people's cheeks, which was disturbing but also kind of funny, and then actually coming to some decent conclusions as well.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like it's crazy to me that we are now five episodes into this. I remember in our preseason podcast, I said there was no way he was making it past episode six. He's only even been in one death match, right?
Yeah, where he almost effortlessly defeated the best player of all time. So, what more can you say?
Yeah, and just one last thing, at least for me, that I wanted to plug is something that I think is super cool. And Dom, I know you've checked it out as well. Is Reddit now has its own subreddit for The Genius. It's reddit.com/r/TheGenius, and it looks really cool. Every episode has its own discussion forum. Those are, I think, at least hopefully going to be staying spoiler-free as far as future episodes, but it looks really, really sharp, and it looks like it's really well thought out as far as the keeping spoilers out of the way. So definitely do be checking that out.
Yeah, so far it is the only remotely tolerable place on Reddit, which might be because nobody is actually in the subreddit yet, but maybe that will change in due time. But yeah, for now, definitely go and check that out.
Yeah, all right. That is all I have, and I think that's going to do it for this week. We are going to be back very soon. I know this was late getting this episode up this week. Next week should be a lot quicker, and very much looking forward to the next episode. And take care, everybody.